It's good to have each and every one of you present. Hope all of you had a good Thanksgiving. I was asked by my uncle, are we going to be studying gluttony today? And I said, no, just overeating. I want to take some time and present some thoughts concerning Thanksgiving as we think concerning this idea and the holiday that we've just gone through. But what I would like to do this morning is actually look at some things that we can be and should be thankful for. Oftentimes, I think it is the case that we go through our lives and we pray, as we talked about this morning in the adult Bible class, and we give thanks to God, but sometimes I think we seem to be somewhat limited in what we're thankful for. We seem to not spend as much time in meditating on what God's Word says, and because of that, we thank God for the same things all the time, but we leave some things out. Now, that may not be the case in your situation, but I can speak from personal experience that oftentimes we forget some of the bountiful blessings that we've been given. And so I want to spend some time this morning in the book of Psalms and notice some of these ideas. And when we were sitting in the adult class, I thought Jonathan was going to walk all over my lesson this morning. But I think we'll be able to complement one another very well. Psalm chapter 30, let's begin there in just noticing this idea of thanksgiving. The 30th Psalm in verse 4, the psalmist says, "Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name." The psalmist encourages those who are saints to give thanks to God. Why? At the remembrance of His name. When you think concerning even the name of God, you consider those names for God that we have in the Old Testament, the names that declare Him as Almighty, the names that declare Him as King of Kings, the names that declare His omniscience and His omnipotence, and you remember there is certainly a great God to whom we should give thanks. But go also to Psalm 26. Psalm 26, this time beginning in verse 6, psalmist writes, "I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works." This idea of thanksgiving in praise to God is a declaration of that which God has done. We were reminded on Wednesday night of the fact that the Thanksgiving holiday in America was instituted initially by George Washington and then reinstituted again by Abraham Lincoln. And both times it was directly connected to giving thanks to God. Our lesson this morning will direct us to understand, will help us to notice that as we give thanks to God, the greatest things we can thank God for are the things which God has done for us. Psalm chapter 9, as well, by way of introducing this lesson. Psalm chapter 9 and verse 1, "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your wondrous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." Oftentimes, I think we look at this idea of thanksgiving and giving thanks to God, and we think that that can only be done in prayer. Such is not the case. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Now that giving thanks is directly connected to singing. And therefore, we ought to be those who give thanks to God in prayer, yes, but also in song. And therefore, those songs ought to be on our hearts and on our minds throughout our lives. The psalmist is consistent in reminding people to be thankful to God for what God has done, and that for those things we should be thankful. But let us ask, for what does the psalmist direct us to be thankful for? What does the psalmist allude to that we should be giving praise to God for those things? Begin, if you will, in Psalm number 3. Psalm number 3 in verse 1. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say to me, there is no help for him in God. Now here the psalmist is confronting his enemies, and his enemies are speaking against him and saying, this individual believes in God and God has supplied him no help. But skip down, if you will, to verse 5. The psalmist says, and this psalm is written as dealing with a situation where the psalmist is preparing for battle. This wasn't just some people down the road who didn't like him very much, some neighbors who kind of. No, this was a psalm written by a king who had true enemies. And those enemy forces are on their doorstep, and he is writing this psalm, and he says in verse 5, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. We ought to be thankful to God that as those who are Christians, as those who God has given his assurance that he will be with us, that we can pillow our head at night as David did here, even in the face of our enemies. Even in the face of battle, you know, you read about individuals who have been in battle, you read about those who have been in wars, and them talking about the fact that just before a major engagement, they didn't sleep. They might have laid down, but there was no sleep to be had. And yet David says, I laid down my head and I slept. And I awoke. Why? Because I was assured that God was with me. He didn't have anything to fear. He didn't have any hesitation. Why? Because he knew who God was. Chapter 4, verse 8. He says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. Why can we be thankful to God? We can be thankful to God to be able to sleep in the face of troubles, because we're assured of God's providence. Chapter 4, verse 1. We are also reminded by the psalmist. He says, hear me when I call. O God of my righteousness, you have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. The end of verse 3 says, the Lord will hear when I call to him. We're reminded by the psalmist that we can be thankful to God, for he hears our prayers. We ought to be thankful to God not only that we have the avenue of prayer, but that he hears those prayers and that they are answered. But notice also in chapter 5. Chapter 5 and in verse 7, the psalmist says, but as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. We can be thankful to God because he has granted us entrance into his house. He has granted us the opportunity and the ability to worship him. But notice, it is by his mercy. Have you ever considered, have you ever given thought to the fact that we should be thankful for the mercy of God? Because without God's mercy, without God's grace, we couldn't even worship him acceptably. You see, none of us that have ever sinned, according to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and fallen short of the glory of God, none of us are worthy to stand before God and worship Him. Not without the mercy and the grace of God. Therefore, the psalmist says that I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. Do we give thanks to God that we have His mercy, that we can even worship Him? Follow me, if you will, to the 26th Psalm. Psalm 26, beginning in verse 8. He says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. We should be thankful for the opportunity to worship God. We should be thankful for the opportunity to come and to assemble together with those who are His saints, His children, so that we might be instructed by God, so that we might be led in a smooth path, an easy path, so that our feet might be on level ground, as the psalmist talks about. We should be thankful for the opportunity to come together and worship, and it should be that which we seek. For David, it was his desire to dwell in the house of God. But notice also, as we continue on through the Psalms, if we go to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. Verse 6, he says this. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Psalm 17. Psalm 17 and verse 4. The psalmist says, concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips I have kept away from the path of the destroyer. Also, Psalm 17 and in verse 6. He says, I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Go back to Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12 and in verse 7. He says, you shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. Speaking concerning God's words. And then as well, Psalm 19. Psalm 19 and verse 8. The psalmist says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Bringing together the sentiments of these passages, we are reminded that we should be thankful that the Word of God is pure. That God has protected. Notice what the psalmist said in verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 7. He said that God had protected His words. Notice He said, you shall keep them. That is to lay a guard before them. You, God, have guarded them. You shall preserve them. We should be thankful that in spite of all the many individuals and religions and beliefs that exist in this world that have no assurance that which they possess and that which they believe is actually that which was even originally believed, because they don't have any evidence for the original copies, the original manuscripts, we can look at all of the evidence we have for Scripture and we can be assured that God has preserved His Word and it is pure. We should be thankful for the purity of God's Word and for the guiding attributes of that Word, for the ability to speak His Word and to proclaim it before others, the ability to meditate and to think on that which God has given. How often have we remembered to thank God for His Word and for the purity of that Word. But we notice also, if we turn to Psalm 14, and in verse 1, the psalmist writes, "The fool has said in his heart, 'There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good.'" The psalmist reminds us that we should be thankful that God has revealed Himself to us so thoroughly, so sufficiently, through creation, through His Word, and through many other means, that only a fool would declare there is no God. We should be thankful that God has made Himself known, and not in such a way that you have to seek so diligently to even know the possibility of God existing. No, He's declared Himself so thoroughly that you'd have to be a fool to disagree with that fact. Are we thankful for God's revelation of Himself? Psalm 16, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist writes, "Preserve me, O God, for in You I will put my trust. O my soul, You have said to the Lord, 'You are my Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from You.'" We should be thankful. We should be thankful for God and again for His mercy and His grace, because notice what He says. The end of verse 2, He says, "My goodness, my inherent value, my moral rightness is nothing apart from You." The psalmist recognizes, "I could never stand as righteous before God unless God allowed me to. Apart from God, none of us is righteous. Apart from God's grace, apart from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and His blood, none of us is justified or sanctified. We ought to be thankful that God has granted us salvation through Jesus Christ, because apart from Him, our goodness is nothing. Psalm 16, this time verse 3, he says, "As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight." The psalmist reminds us that we should be thankful for our brethren. We should be thankful for fellow Christians. We should be thankful for the saints of God, because they should be our delight. They are our companions. They are those who will encourage us when the times are hard. Are we thankful for our fellow Christians? Psalm 26. Verses 2 and 3. The psalmist says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart, for Your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in Your truth." We are to be reminded by the psalmist that we should be thankful for the trials of God. We should be thankful when God proves us, when He tries us. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. Actually, go back to verse 5. "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the God of spirits and live? For they indeed have a few days chastened, or for they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. The Hebrew writer writes to these Christians, and he says, you've been corrected, you've been chastened, you've been disciplined by your earthly fathers, and you respect them. Now you're being chastened, you're being corrected by your heavenly Father, and you ought to again take joy in that. He says, during the time of the chastening, during the painful period of it, it's not joyful, but when you see the fruits of God trying your heart and your mind and your soul, you can be thankful. We ought to, as the psalmist indicates here, we ought to be thankful for God's trials. For as James says, they produce patience. And patience has its perfect work, and it produces perfection. We ought to be thankful not only for His trials, according to this verse, but also for His loving kindness and for His faithfulness. We ought to be those who look to God, look to what He has done, both that which brings joy to our lives and also that which brings sorrow, but in both of them, that which produces holiness. And we ought to be thankful for what God has done. But then lastly, turn back to chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. Beginning in verse 1. The psalmist says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that you visit him. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. We ought to be thankful for the very fact, when we consider the creation that God has made and the glory of that which He has produced by His own hand, by the word of His mouth, we ought to be thankful for even the very fact that God cares for mankind. That God is mindful of him. Psalm 9 and verse 9, the psalmist again declares, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of troubles, and those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. God is mindful of mankind, yes, and He is faithful to those who seek Him, those who are faithful to Him. Psalm 9, verses 11 and 12, sing praise to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare His deeds among the people. When He avenges blood, He remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. God is mindful of those who are afflicted. God is mindful of the cries of those in pain and in trouble. We're reminded of Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, in which God says, I have heard the cry of my people in Egypt. Psalm 13. Psalm 13, and in verse 5, the psalmist says, but I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. When we each examine our lives, when we examine the idea that we can be thankful that God is even mindful of mankind, we should be reminded that for every individual who's ever lived, who's experienced either great things or painful things, we can be thankful to God because in all, He's been bountiful in how He's treated us. For those who endure hardships, we can be thankful that we even have the air to breathe, the sun to experience, the rain that falls on the just and on the unjust. God has dealt bountifully with all, though often we forget His bountiful blessings. But Psalm 51, when we are reminded that the Lord is mindful of man, we ultimately remember Psalm 51 and verse 14, the cry of David, "Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. The God of my salvation and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness." We should ultimately be reminded to be thankful, because without the salvation of God, without the blood of Jesus Christ, without the sacrifice that has been made for us, we stand in our guilt. And there is no forgiveness. We should be reminded to be thankful. We should be thankful for all of God's blessings, for all that God has done. And I hope through the lesson this morning you're exhorted, and your prayer lives and in your thanksgiving to God, to dig a little deeper, to be reminded by the Scriptures of all that which we can and should be thankful for. But if you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church, you're not a member of the body of Christ, if you have not been saved by hearing God's Word and believing it, by repenting of your sins, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, by confessing the name of Christ, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, and by being immersed in water, buried with Him in baptism, Romans chapter 6. If you haven't done that, then the greatest thing that you can be thankful for, which is salvation, is something that isn't yours. It's not available to you this morning. If you are here this morning and you're not a member of the body of Christ and you desire to be thankful for salvation because you've obtained it, then the opportunity is made available now and any time to become a member of the body of Christ by taking those steps to live faithful until death. If you're here this morning, you have need to respond to the invitation. Why not come as we stand and as we sing? And that the